Hey, Podcast Land. Welcome to season 4. I cannot believe I have been doing this for 4 seasons, which equates to about 4 years, because in between seasons, I normally only take a month or two off. This time I took 4 months off, which is unusual, and I don't plan on doing that again. I'm happy that you are joining me again, and I'm super excited to bring you some new episodes. Based on the recordings that I've already had, you guys are in for a treat. And the first one to kick it off is my dear friend Ashley Bagney. She and I are talking about You've Got a Friend in Me from the movie Toy Story. I know y'all have seen it. There's the original and then 3 sequels. And I just hope that you enjoy this interview so much. Thank you for joining me for season 4. Oh man, I love this song. Every time I hear it, I can remember where I was and who I was with. It reminds me of this. Does this sound familiar? Music is like a scent. It can instantly transport you to another time and place. I ask my guests to dish about their song with the memories that go with it. I'm your host, Tiffany Mason. I have a passion for music and a curiosity about how a song affects someone and why. Turn up your radio and let's explore Memories with a Beat. Hello, Podcast Land. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Memories with a Beat. And today I have with me Ashley Bagney, and she has been so amazing in my life. You guys, she's a certified health coach. She really knows her stuff, and she just continues her education, and I'm so impressed with her. So I'm really excited. She and I normally have a conversation on a more serious level, and this is an opportunity for us to have just kind of a fun conversation about some music that really means a lot to her. So Ashley, thank you so much for taking time out of your day today and being on Memories with a Beat.
Thank you so much for having me. And it's so fun to be able to do something with you outside of our normal interactions.
I agree. So I'm excited. We are going to dive into the song from Toy Story. You all got to know it. I know my son, Preston, he's 22 now, but that was one of his favorite movies growing up. And so this song is ingrained in me, like it must be in you. And I'm excited to find out what this song means to you. But first of all, I want to let everybody know that now I knew it was originally recorded by James Taylor, but even before that, it was written by Carole King, which I found incredibly interesting because I love so much of her music. And then along comes Toy Story. Pixar develops this amazing storyline with these stuffed animals that come to life. And in 1995, they launch Toy Story and they remake the song by James Taylor. But now it's Randy Newman creating it. You've Got a Friend in Me. So I just really love this song. Maybe it's the movie gives you the feeling of kinship, but that's just like, when I think about this, it's just like this big bear hug is how the song kind of makes me feel. I don't really know how to explain it, but just comforting, just warm and fuzzy. This song was actually nominated for the Academy Awards for the Best Original Song, as well as the Golden Globes Award for the Best Original Song. And I have to imagine it has something to do with that storyline and that feeling that we all get. Great song to begin with, but then it was remade and it got even better, which I don't think is always the case. So if you don't mind, Ashley, dive into what this song means to you and maybe the warm, fuzzy feeling that you get from this song.
Sure. Well, the song actually has 2 different seasons in my life, because the movie came out when I was in high school. And one of my very best friends, and if she listens to this, she'll know who she is, loved Toy Story. And so whenever I think of this song, it always makes me think of that high school period in my life where it was carefree and just happy. You know, you don't have any real responsibilities. And just all that fun that you have and your friendships. And we all played basketball together. So it was just kind of transports me back to that really just free time in my life. And then I have my son and he falls in love with this movie. We kind of say he has an old soul. And so, and he just falls in love with the movie. He laughs at all of the adult humor in there. If you haven't seen the movie, he doesn't really think that the kids' parts are funny, but he thinks that the adult stuff is hysterical. And so now when I think of this song, I think of my son. And of course, the lyrics really hit you when you think about your children in this song and like the impact of the character going off to college and just all of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I want to back up to high school. You said you guys all played basketball. Is this the song that when you guys hit the courts, you had playing on the
set? Probably not. I think there were many other songs that we played when we hit the courts, like, you know, Salt and Pepper and
yes.
stuff. And you and I know, like, everything that we talk about, we're always thinking of a line from a lyric from a song.
Yes.
So it was more of like those different songs. But yeah, I think of my friend. I think of hanging out, eating pizza and stuff that I probably wouldn't eat nowadays. And just, you know, that high school friend feeling.
Yeah.
That feels different when you get older, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And you said you're still friends. So it's nostalgic because it brings you back not only to that friendship, but also to that friendship, like, mm-hmm. like the things that you were doing, the experiences that you guys had. So when does this song come on? Like when you guys were in high school, is it at sleepovers? Is it just, it was in the car? Is it that you guys would have sleepovers and watch the movie together? Like how would it pop up in your friendship?
You know, it was when we all got our driver's license. And so I had been friends with most of my friend group since elementary school. So like first grade, we all went through elementary, middle, and high school together. And so when we had our first cars, which some of us had CD players, and yes, we are very old. Okay. And some of us still had tape players in our cars, but we would put the CD on and drive around in our, you know, high school cars, which would have been, I don't know, 1989 Toyota Camry. I just like it reminds me of that. Or sometimes we would watch the movie together, but it was just mostly that camaraderie, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, does she have kids that you guys were able to like watch the movie together with your kids?
Well, she does have kids, but she lives in Seattle. So we're far away. But her kids are actually the same age as my kids, which is nice. And I know she shares this movie with them too. So,
so are there specific lyrics that when you hear them, you think of your friend or EJ? Like, do they translate across the two different relationships?
You know, I think the music minus the lyrics. Mm-hmm. Makes me think of my friend.
Okay.
But when I put the music and the lyrics together, mm-hmm. it's kind of compartmentalized. It makes me think of myself.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, it kind of pulls both of them together. But the lyrics, I didn't much pay attention to the lyrics mm-hmm. in high school, right?
Because right.
that sentimentality just didn't hit me in the same way as it does as a mom.
Yeah. So what are those lyrics? What does stick out for you? What line is sung and you're like, oh.
Oh man, you're going to make me cry. Because you know I'm a crier. I think it's probably in the second verse when it says, there isn't anything I wouldn't do for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And without sharing too much, I mean, your son has a lot of complications and you really, I mean, you guys do a lot for him to keep him yeah. in a happy state of mind and a happy life. And I think that's super admirable. But, you know, I know those words are super true for you, just seeing what you've done for him. And I know if you want to talk just a little bit about what you do, being a certified health coach, I mean, you had to heal yourself first, but it's almost like, you know, when we have to use our trauma for purpose later. And so you went through all of that and you learned yeah. all these nutritional dietitian things. And now you're able to help your son in the same way with that knowledge that you gained. So I think that that is such a beautiful thing. And now you've kind of decided to help others.
Yeah, I think that was a really long, it was a long period for me. You know, it was about mm-hmm. a decade when I was really not feeling very well.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it was hard because I was hiding it. Mm. I didn't have the appearance of feeling or looking sick.
Yeah.
But I would go home and be in the fetal position on the floor all night long in pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I hit my low point and I just decided, okay, I'm going to get better. And I went through that whole long journey. I guess it just really taught me so much about how we don't know what we need to really take the best care of ourselves that we can. Mm-hmm. And that information isn't need to be a secret. It just needs to be taught in an understandable way so that we can use it. And, you know, I went through all of that and I thought, okay, I can't just keep all of this to myself because I went through a long period of feeling well, like how somebody else has to be going through this too. And how can I serve those people? And I think, you know, having my pre-life before my son, being a teacher, using those skills and bringing them in, it's really helpful because I'm able to take these complicated things and make them uncomplicated and help somebody understand how their body works in a, you know, in a short period of weeks, really. So they don't need me anymore, that they have the knowledge and the tools to go and, you know, feel really good for the rest of their life, knowing what to do.
Yeah. And I'm super excited because Ash is actually working on a little project where she's going to be able to share all of that information. Ashley has decided to start a podcast and share this information. We're part of a networking group together, and she really makes it so insanely approachable. And she is speaking truth when she says she makes it a way that people can actually understand it. She was explaining to me the process of women's hormones, and she was talking about a party and who was at the party. And I was like, yeah, okay, I can understand a party and who's at this party and who's not invited and who doesn't get along well. It was those kind of things that help our group to understand. And then we all were saying, this is such great information. You need to share it on a podcast. You have so much to share. And again, she does it in a great way. And maybe that is because of your teaching background. So I imagine you share that same information with your son in a way that he can understand it as well to help himself, you know, cure himself, which, I mean, you guys are really on a great path mm-hmm. towards some amazing recovery.
Yeah. I mean, he, and I'll share a little bit just to maybe inspire other families that might be on this journey too. But he was born with a lot of severe allergies to everything. Environmental allergies, food allergies.
When I met Ashley, she shared that her son was allergic to earth.
Yes, it really did feel like that in a lot of ways. And so, you know, we went to all different lengths to try and cure him or really give him some relief. And we did every woo-woo, non-woo-woo thing you could think of. And then finally found there is a institute out in California called the Southern California Food Allergy Institute. And this genius doctor has developed this protocol to help children have food freedom. And the beauty of it is that you don't take any pills or potions. They're curing your food allergies with food. And I think it was really profound for me, having gone through my health issues and using food as my tool, that I really learned, okay, food really is powerful. And then now, you know, with my continued education and stuff, I'm able to teach mm-hmm. my son, now that he's very close to being completely food free, we're a few months away from that. I'm now having to, you know, take the next step with him and teach him, okay, now that you're allergy free, we've got to heal the rest of your body and get the rest of it in balance, and helping him understand a very complicated system like the gastrointestinal tract or the gut microbiome, and helping him understand in a developmentally appropriate way how he can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, it just, it's all been a big gift.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, you also said that he's a big fan of Star Wars.
Yes.
So do you want to share the connection of Star Wars and you've got a friend in me?
Sure. So Randy Newman, who wrote this Toy Story, well, he didn't write it, but he recreated it for this movie.
Composed?
Yes. See, I'm not in the music industry. I just listened to it. He also made all the music for Star Wars and worked with Lucas on the films and many of the other projects they worked together with. I believe he also did the Indiana Jones movies as well. So, and EJ can tell you more about that, but
yeah. Okay. Well, we'll have to have him on as a guest anyway. So he loves the music and he loves Star Wars. Now, does he also love the movie Toy Stories?
Yes. So he loves the movie. And I always really liked the movie because I very much appreciated whoever wrote it. If you watch it and you really pay attention to it, especially Mr. Potato Head has some very like high level adult humor in there. Not inappropriate, but just funny.
Yeah.
You can pick up on it. And I didn't pick up on it at first until my son started laughing at it. And I'm like, why is he laughing? And I'm like, oh, that is funny. And then I was like, oh, thank you for whoever made this movie, because, you know, you wouldn't necessarily think that there would be adult level humor and sarcasm, which I really appreciate being as sarcastic as I am in a movie about, you know, kids' stuffed animals.
Well, I think they did such a great job, too, in Monsters Incorporated. I think it's very similar. And that was one that we just had on repeat. I mean, every time, Preston, what do you want to watch? Monsters Incorporated, Monsters Incorporated. So we watched it a million times over. And that's also by Pixar.
Yeah.
So they have a great sense of humor. So if you guys are looking for some good family movies, those might be some to check out.
And all the Toy Story movie series.
Yeah.
Even till the end has some really hysterical lines in there. You just have to pay attention to it.
Got a podcast? Are you loving it, but not loving how much time post-production takes? Or maybe you just have other tasks calling your name a little bit louder. Virtually You can help. Check out virtuallyuva.com, supporting you in all things podcasting, like editing, show notes, audiograms, and much more. See the link in the show notes. They're waiting to give you back your time. And on that note, let's get back to the show.
Well, do you want to break down the lyrics more? Are there more lines that, you know, when they come up on the radio or whatever that you hear and you're like, oh my gosh?
I think you can, as a parent, I can parse out every single line.
Yeah.
You know, it's that powerful of a song. And of course, if you think who the original writers are.
Yeah.
This is not surprising because they are very connected.
Heartfelt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, heartfelt individuals, you know. And so when you read it, it's all truth.
Yeah, some songs are like that where it's like you really can't pick out a line because every single line is so important.
Yeah.
So I have to ask. I mean, I would assume. Now you said you guys had the CDs, so lots of times I say the cassette. But when you bought the CD. Would you open them up and read the lyrics, or were you more about experiencing the music first?
I think my friends were opening the thing and looking at the lyrics and reading it, you know, with the jacket. For you youngins, they used to have to put the music in this little pocket and you would open it up and it would have all the lyrics because we didn't have the internet back.
And then if you didn't fold it back upright and you try to slide it back in, it wouldn't slide in, or the first two would slide in, then you'd get to the back two little things. And
then it wouldn't close all the way.
Yes.
And then the CD would pop out, or the tape. Life struggles, right?
And how were you supposed to get it back in your CD tower? I mean,
you couldn't. But then they created those zip up things, you know, that would store the CDs. Like,
yes.
So you could carry more. So we had those.
Like a binder.
Yeah, we had those in the car. Like a trapper keeper.
Yes. How about the one that went on the sun visor?
Oh, yeah. But mine would fly.
Oh.
And I was coached up on this. My friends would say, listen, that means you don't have enough CDs in there.
Oh.
So you have, you know, to make it really tight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, well, that makes sense. But then it'll get stretched out. And they were like, yeah, so you just have to slide more in there. And I'm like,
okay. Well, it's funny that we're talking about CDs because yesterday I went to a record store and I bought 2 records.
Ooh,
and cool. I was, yes. And I was telling them, the people that I was meeting up with, and I slipped and said CD. And they were like, so where are you going to play this CD that you got? Which I didn't realize I had slipped and said CD. And I was like, oh no, it's a record. It's a big one. It's like a black, big plastic record. And they were like, oh, because you said CD. And one of the other ladies was like, listen, my car's real old and it still plays CDs. So if I want to buy CDs, I still can.
That's, yeah. And I remember, like, I had a car, I didn't have a CD player. So I don't know if you remember the little tape converter.
Yes. Yes.
I had one of those. And then I had the portable CD player. And then I would have.
Yeah.
It was a whole system. It took me like 15 right? minutes to start driving because I would have to like hook my music up properly.
Equal, but not as equally difficult or so many steps. But we're like, as we got older, you know, you could take the face of your radio off.
Yeah. What was that?
I always thought people were so cool that had that. My sister had a boyfriend and he rode this little tiny Suzuki that looked like a Jeep. I don't remember what it was called. And he would always have to take the face of his radio off. And I was always like, God, he's so cool.
Is that when they were putting, like taking out the old tape decks and putting the new?
Yes.
You know, and so you would have to take that off because then people would steal it.
That's right. Well, times change. Thank God. Oh my gosh. What will they come up with for our kids that we think is like, we have like the latest, greatest now? You know, and then our kids are going to have something. They're going to be like, duh, they thought they were so cool. Or they thought it was, you know, like CDs. We really thought that was the end of the music thing. Like, we've done it. And now we have digital.
Great. And then remember MP3 players
yeah.
came out?
Yeah.
And everybody thought that was going to be the end of CDs.
Mm-hmm.
And then digital, mm-hmm. then everybody like moved to digital, and then that really was the end of CDs.
Yeah. Well, thank God, because now we have podcasts.
Right.
It's all on demand.
That's right. And probably it's more environmentally friendly, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know, and it was heavy carrying around all those CDs.
Well, plus, you know what the guy was telling me yesterday at the record store is he said that only like 30% of all of our music is available for streaming because they haven't uploaded full albums. So lots of times when you go to look for a song, you could potentially not find it if it's old enough because they like basically just put on, you know, the top hits plus a couple other and call it a day.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Nobody's really looking for those other songs.
Yes, there's a lot of music out there that just got... that gets left.
So that was kind of sad.
That could be a whole industry for somebody. We are creating whole fledgling industries right now.
Kind of sad to think all the time and money that those artists spent putting on those albums, but it is what it is. Well, Ashley, is there anything else that you want to add about this song or any other memories that, you know, have kind of come up to you since we've been talking about it?
No, I think it's just a really special song. And if you haven't listened to it, I encourage you to listen to it. And if you're a parent, make sure you do it with some tissues.
I think I will probably go back and revisit this song because I just, you know, Hannah, we live in a golf cart community and we just buzz around the golf cart all the time. And she's kind of my little sidekick and she's getting a little bit older and she's pulling away a little bit, which they're supposed to do. It's natural progression of life. But I think it probably would. I might need a box of tissues.
Yeah. EJ always says, Mommy, are you going to cry?
Maybe, honey.
And I'm like, yeah, I am.
Cue the waterfall.
Yeah. You know, being a parent, it changes everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even movies and songs.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. There's been a couple of interviews where people have said, you know, like this time of my life, it meant this. And this time of my life, it meant something different. And so I think that's really cool when we can grow with a song and it keeps the sentimental value, you know, that we had for one situation and are able to apply it to a new situation. So pretty awesome.
I think it really speaks to how music and art is an evolving thing for people.
Mm, mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like a static situation.
Yeah.
Like in a weird way, you know, all living things are always growing and changing mm-hmm. every second. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like art, whether, you know, performance art or music or other types of art, it's doing that too. Mm-hmm. 'Cause our perspective changes. So it changes with our perspective.
Right. Mm-hmm. And life experience and yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you guys have not heard the song, it will be in the show notes. So make sure you click on the song and check it out and have your own sentimental moment or on the Spotify, Apple Music or YouTube playlist. You can check it out. Ashley, thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you for having me again. It's so fun to connect in a different way. And, you know, I can't wait to hear the other guests you have on in the future.
Well, Podcast Land, I hope this conversation sticks with you like the memories to your favorite song. Podcast Land, thank you so much for listening. If you had a few memories of your own pop up with this episode, make sure to take a screenshot, tag me on social, Tiffany Mason, or Virtually You, and share those memories. I know y'all are listening, and I'd love to hear the memories you were reminded of with this song. Also, would you do me a favor and share this episode with someone you think would enjoy it? This is the best way you can help me to grow my audience. Can't wait to dive into my next guest's memories with a beat. Hit subscribe now. You don't want to miss the next episode.